This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the third episode of this wonderful new podcast I have here. And I finally have come up with a new name. I worked this out with Martin. He made a suggestion that I didn't like. I changed it, suggested it to him. He didn't like it. We worked through it. We came out with a new name. I liked his ideas. This podcast will now and forever be known as In Transit. So this episode of this podcast, I wanted to do a WrestleMania preview podcast. WrestleMania is this weekend, this Sunday. And I've been listening to a whole bunch of WrestleMania podcast episodes from other people. It seems like everybody is doing a WrestleMania podcast. So I thought, why don't I do it too? Part of the reason that I wanted to do it is because everybody's so negative. They just complain about everything, and there's no way that the good things are going to happen that they want to happen. But you know what? I, for one, am excited about WrestleMania. I was excited about the Royal Rumble. This is the first time that I've ever seen two Royal Rumbles that both ended the way that I wanted them to. There's only been probably once ever that a Royal Rumble sort of ended the way I wanted it to in the first place. That was when Bret Hart and Lex Luger co-won, and co-winning is some BS, and at least Bret went on to win the championship at WrestleMania. So we're going to talk about WrestleMania 34 on this episode. I'm also going to answer another question from Sparky in the segment that everybody knows and loves called Sparky Demands Answers. He demanded answers on the last episode, and he was so pleased with the response that he got that he demands more answers and a follow-up question. So we're going to rebound immediately with a follow-up question from Sparky. And that's going to be it for this episode. So without further ado, let's talk about WrestleMania 34. The first two things to talk about are the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the Women's Battle Royal. I don't have a lot to say about these. They're Battle Royals. Battle Royals are pretty much always fun. They're hard to ruin. I have no idea who to even think will win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Obviously, the last couple years, it hasn't done a whole lot of good for the careers of those who have won it. So who cares? It's just going to be fun to watch. We'll see who wins it. Hopefully it's more interesting than freaking Mojo Rawley like last year. I guess the year before was Baron Corbin, so that was better. He's definitely been getting more of a push. So not too bad for him. The year before that was Cesaro, who got, I guess, kind of a bigger push after that. But then it kind of, he settled in a good place. He's doing a good thing with Sheamus. More on them later. So I don't really know who's in this Battle Royal at the moment. I'm just going to enjoy it. So watch the Battle Royal. Enjoy it. See what you think. The Women's Battle Royal. I love that they're really giving the women's division its due and giving that division its chance to shine along with the men's division. I feel like they've continually not just offered it equal opportunity with the same types of matches, but they've continually put those matches in the position to shine. At the Royal Rumble, the women's Royal Rumble was the headline match of the event. It was the last thing that happened. And even if Ronda Rousey came out and stole the spotlight from Asuka, which was a load of crap, it still was good. It was good to see it end the show. It was a good Royal Rumble, especially it being the first time, and it was good. It was enjoyable. There's been plenty of other instances of that, the Hell in a Cell, where the women's match headlined. So good stuff. The Women's Battle Royal, I'm excited to see it, see how it goes. And I'm going to pick Becky Lynch to win this. Just for the fact that they usually pick somebody to win it that you feel like they're going to give them a push, but they never seem to really quite get anywhere with their push. And that seems like Becky Lynch to a T. And I like Becky Lynch, so I'd like to see her win, and I'd really like to see her get more of a push. But I have no idea who's going to win. Hard to predict with the Battle Royal. All right, moving on from there, we have Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali for the vacated Cruiserweight Championship. I really don't know anything about either of these guys because I haven't been watching TV. I pretty much follow wrestling through watching the pay-per-view events on the network and getting together with my cousin from time to time to watch them. So I don't know either of these guys too well. But from what I hear, these guys are both pretty good performers, so I'm looking forward to the match. So your guess is as good as mine. I'm just going to say I'm going to look forward to that match. Next up, I'm going to jump to the other end of the list because suddenly it flip-flops into the headline matches in this list that I got off of Wikipedia, which seems to be where everybody got their list. And next, we'll talk about Daniel Bryan teaming with Shane McMahon against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This is one match where I've heard a lot of grumbling because Shane McMahon's in it. But you know what? I don't care. Daniel Bryan is wrestling again, and he is in the ring against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. What more can you ask for? I guess you could ask for a better partner for him, but I mean, come on. That's great. Like, it's great to have Daniel Bryan wrestling again and to see him going up against two great performers. So there's nothing to complain about with this match, really. If it's this compared to him not wrestling, which is what we've had for quite a while, be happy with what we get here. I'm very excited about it. I don't really know what to expect out of the outcome of the match. Because the stipulation of the match is that if Owens and Zayn lose, then they don't get their job back, then, you know, based on that, I think they're going to win. The interesting thing could be, how do they go about winning? I can't see Daniel Bryan taking a clean loss in his first match back with all the excitement that he's going to have from his fans. So I'm going to assume that either Shane's going to be the weak link and lose, or there could be some subterfuge and Daniel Bryan could cause Shane to be the one that loses the match and gets Owens and Zayn their job back. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to have Daniel Bryan wrestling again. I'm glad to see him in the ring against two other competitors that I love. Next up is Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. This is probably the match that I'm the least excited about in a lot of ways. At the very least, it could be very interesting. So we're going to see what happens. I don't expect a ton out of Ronda Rousey as far as her overall performance as a wrestler, but she obviously is a great competitor. So how they play the match is going to mean a lot. Watching Kurt Angle wrestle is just so sad. Like, he is in such bad shape and you can see it. So I don't know. Like, I feel like this one's going to be hard to watch in a lot of ways. So we'll see what happens. I mean, there's no way Rousey's going to lose, would be my opinion on it. Hopefully they script this match in a way that's going to be good and not just be painful to see. Next up is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match with the Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. I'm excited about this match because I love Luke Harper, and the Bludgeon Brothers, I haven't seen a ton of what they've done because, once again, I don't watch TV and I know that most of it will show up there. But man, they got the ability to dominate and beat the hell out of people and really make you buy it. So I think that they're going to do more of that here. I think they're going to win the championship, and I think that they're going to go in there and demolish two other good tag teams. So I'm excited about that match. Next up is the Raw Tag Team Championship match, which is Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun Strowman and a mystery partner. I think the real element of excitement here is, who is the mystery partner going to be? Is it going to be somebody that we've been missing, like maybe Samoa Joe makes his return? Or is it going to be somebody totally unexpected, like Rey Mysterio? Or is it going to be something else quirky? Is it going to be the Big Show and they're going to be two giant guys? Who knows? That's going to be interesting. Ultimately, I think that Braun Strowman and whoever he is paired with win the titles here. From what I've been hearing, Sheamus has been dealing with an injury, so it makes sense that he will drop the titles and get a chance to get better. Moving on from there, the SmackDown Women's Championship match, which this is definitely one of the two matches I'm the most excited about, and it may be the match I'm most excited about. I'm just going to say that I have two number ones here, but this is definitely not one of the number ones. Charlotte Flair is the champion going up against Asuka, the inaugural Women's Royal Rumble winner. I absolutely love Asuka. She's one of my favorite competitors to watch. I've loved every bit of watching her in NXT. She believably beats the hell out of people, but she also puts up believable matches against everybody and hasn't just bulldozed through everybody. You believe that she can lose, and that's why she's exciting to watch, and that's why it's exciting to see her winning streak continue to go on, because you know she has the ability to win against anybody, but it's also done believably. So this match, I think, is going to be great. I think Asuka wins it myself. If she didn't and Charlotte Flair wins it, I wouldn't be able to. They're going to put on a great match. So I'm not going to complain with whoever wins this one, but I'm rooting for Asuka for sure. Next up is the Raw Women's Championship match with Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. And Alexa Bliss, I've enjoyed watching her perform. At first, I thought she was more character and less in-ring performance, but she's gotten better and better at both sides of it. Nia Jax may still not be my favorite, but I think she's learning how to carry herself well in the ring with what her strengths and weaknesses are. So I think she's playing her role better. It's definitely, I think, a difficult position to be in when you're a female wrestler and you're a large female wrestler and you're not just a goon. You know, the last one I could think of really well off the top of my head is like Bull Nakano back in the day with Alundra Blaze, them going up against each other. You know, Bull Nakano was like not made to look pretty. You know, I mean, she was out there and, you know, crazy hair, crap all over her face that I think was supposed to look like she had tattoos all over her face. Like, she was just, like, fierce and ugly and, you know. And that's not how Nia Jax is presented. I mean, she goes out there and she's looks like a normal person. She's just a big normal person. And I think that's kind of a difficult position to figure out how to utilize that the best way. And I think she's gotten better at that over time. So this match, who knows how good of a match it'll be. I still don't think that Nia Jax is the most exciting performer to watch in the ring. But I'm still looking forward to it because Alexa Bliss always puts on a good show. So it should be a good performance overall from them one way or the other. I'm going to say that I think Nia is going to win this just because I don't see how, without something sketchy going on, how Alexa Bliss would win the match against Nia with how Nia has been presented. But we'll see. Next up is the United States Championship match. Champion Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal versus Rusev. This match could just be a big mess. I don't really like Randy Orton very much. I feel like he's been putting in a better performance since he's come back. But for the longest time before that, he just didn't seem like he wanted to be there. So he was there and just half-assed and lazy. And he looked bad, not as in like, you know, he let himself go. But he looked bad, like, just in the way he did everything. Just none of it felt good. None of it looked good. But he just is so over with people. It's ridiculous. I can't stand Jinder Mahal. He's just a terrible performer. Watching him wrestle and beat Shinsuke Nakamura over the last summer was just absolutely disgusting. That's what really turned me completely off on it, was even going up against Shinsuke, he couldn't have a match that just didn't look like crap. So if he walks out of this as the champion, that's where I'm going to be the most disappointed. If Orton leaves still as champion, that'll just be boring to me. Bobby Roode, I love Bobby Roode. Love, love, love Bobby Roode. But he really needs to be a heel. And I hope that that comes out of this match more than caring about who leaves as champion. Just everything about him is a great heel. And it's just, I don't think he could be his best if he's being used the way he's being used. I love him, so I'd like to see him win. But ultimately, I think Rusev is the one who is finally getting the due he deserves. He's been a great performer. He is just a great big man in the ring, and he's mobile, and he just executes stuff so well. And he's good, and he's so over right now. So I'm really hoping that Rusev leaves this match as the champion. Next up is the Intercontinental Championship match. Miz is the champion versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. I don't really know what to expect out of this one at all. I know Miz just had a baby, so that may be a factor in how this ends. Maybe he wants some time off. But one of the theories that I heard is that he retains the championship and then goes on to into a program against Daniel Bryan, which would be great with their history. I mean, their history goes back to the beginning of Daniel Bryan in the WWE. So that would be great. But if I had to pick just, you know, in the vacuum of the match, of course I'd want Finn Balor to win. I don't really like Seth Rollins very much. You know, he's a pretty decent performer, really, but man, he's just hurt so many people, and I just lost patience with seeing him get chances when he's screwed over other people. Maybe not intentionally, maybe not his fault, but you know, seeing Finn Balor be the first one to win the Universal Championship and get injured in that match because of how Seth Rollins is dangerous, just, I don't know, you can argue whatever you want about it, but I don't really have much patience for Seth Rollins. Next up is the Universal Championship match, which is not the men's championship match I'm most looking forward to. It's definitely not one of my two number ones. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar is going to be moving on to UFC. I'm pretty sure Roman Reigns is going to win the championship back here. I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns, but you know what? I would rather see him win it and Brock leave and stop putting the title on somebody who doesn't want to be around. We'll see where it goes after this. But yeah, I mean, Roman Reigns, they want to, you know, cue him up to win this again. Not the thing that makes me the happiest, but if it takes the title off of Brock and puts it into like actual competition, I'm happier about that. The last match is AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This is one of my one of the matches I'm the most excited about for sure. This along with Charlotte versus Asuka. I love AJ Styles. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. They're probably my two favorite male competitors in wrestling. Those two along with Asuka, I think, are my three favorite competitors overall, period, in wrestling at the moment, or at least in WWE for sure. So this is going to be a great match. I think Shinsuke is going to win the championship here. But once again, it's going to be such a good match. I can't wait for this match. Everybody that I've heard talk about WrestleMania is assuming that there's no way this is going to headline the event. I'm going to say I think this is going to headline the event. Maybe it doesn't end up headlining the event, but I think assuming that it's going to get just shoved into the first match in the pay-per-view or something like that, I don't think that's how it's going to go down. At the very least, I think it would be kind of like a midpoint, like a pre-intermission headliner match or something like that. That's kind of what they did with the Royal Rumble. They had the Men's Rumble about in the middle of the show. Then they had a couple more matches. Then they had the Women's Rumble. They might do that, but I just have a feeling that they set this up on purpose. They know that people want this, and I think they're going to put this as the headline match of the night, and it's going to be the last match. So that's my my little discussion on WrestleMania 34. I'm very excited about it, very excited about all these matches. Even the ones that I'm not very excited about, there's at least something for me to find interesting in it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going over to my cousin's house to watch it. We're making pizza. I'm going to have a cheeseburger pizza. It's going to be a good night. I'm excited about it. And lots of other things to be excited about that weekend, like NXT the night before. That's the WrestleMania discussion. Now we're going to move on to the next installment of Sparky Demands Answers. When Sparky listened to the last episode of the podcast, he was quite pleased with how quickly and succinctly I answered the question that he demanded that I answer. So he had a follow-up question immediately. Last time I discussed who I would kill in the TMNT series, what major character I would kill off and why. And he followed up with, if I had to kill one of the four turtles, who would I kill and why would I kill them? So I decided, before I get into that answer, I would want to talk a little bit about the image volume of TMNT. That's a volume that a lot of people may not even know exists. It ran 22 issues. It was canceled early because of lack of sales, but it was crazy. It was printed in black and white, and right off the bat, all this crazy stuff happened. So I'm going to tell you what happened to the four turtles and Splinter in that series to give you some perspective on how crazy it is. Then I'm going to share a little bit of news with you. Then I'll answer Sparky's question. So first of all, Raphael gets half of his face blown off in the first issue. He runs around wearing a hockey mask a la Casey Jones for a while, and he ends up becoming the new Shredder in the series. Michelangelo, not as much craziness. He has a girlfriend that crosses over with the Savage Dragon series. That's the only time we've ever seen any of the turtles dating somebody, so that's interesting. Donatello, so you're talking about turtles that die. Donatello falls seemingly to his death, but somehow he doesn't die. He becomes a cyborg. That's right, Donatello is a cyborg. And Leonardo gets one of his hands bitten off. And then Splinter gets turned into a weird bat creature. That's how crazy the Image TMNT series is. And of course, it was a 90s series, so the art was very 90s Image, very bold and outlandish, and I've read some of it. I eventually will read all of it, and that's where the news comes in. IDW is going to be reprinting this series, and they're colorizing it, so it's going to be reprinted in color, which will be pretty awesome. And what's more even awesome than that is they are going to have the original creative team create three final issues to finish off the series, because they didn't get to finish it on the original run. So that's very exciting news, and I have a little bit more of a story to share on that I'm going to hold back for next time. To answer Sparky's question, if I had to kill one of the four Ninja Turtle characters, and why would I kill them? We've seen Donatello be as close to killed as you can be a couple of times, as I mentioned in the Image series. In the IDW series, he was beaten to death by Bebop and Rocksteady, but they were able to save his consciousness before his body died and then put his body back together, basically, and put him back in it. So I definitely wouldn't kill him, because that'd be just be doing more of the same thing. You need Michelangelo for the lighthearted side of things. If you killed him off, it would just make the series sad. And Raphael is, you know, he's the hothead. He's the violent one. I think if you kill him off, then you're taking away a good aspect of what's going to result if one of them died. So I think Leonardo would be the one of the four turtles that I would kill off if I chose to kill one off. It would create a dynamic where they would need a new leader, because he has always been the leader in the group. And the responses you would get from all the other ones would create some great storytelling. Michelangelo, with just how kind-hearted he is, having to deal with one of his brothers dying. Raphael dealing with it in his, you know, with his violent nature. And Donatello, would he step into the role of being the leader? Would he separate off and just get more lost into his mind, who knows what would happen. But if one of the four had to die, I would say Leonardo. And there have been times in the series, various series, where Leonardo has almost died. If anybody has seen the first Ninja Turtle movie, one of the turtles gets nearly beaten to death. In the first comic book, that turtle's Leonardo. He gets beaten by the foot and nearly to death, and they have to escape the city, and they recover in Northampton. So, yeah, we've seen it at least be close before and how they've dealt with it. Yeah, so that's what I would do. More to come on that TMNT Image series. There's some more news there that I'll share at a later date. And that concludes the segment of Sparky Demands Answers for this episode. And that is all for this episode today. Welcome to the first newly named In Transit. That is this podcast. We'll get that all changed up in the feed at some point soon. But until then, we'll just be keeping it right under this name of Comics in Black and White. You can reach me on Twitter at Who's Paul and give me feedback on what you think of the podcast and any ideas of stuff you want me to talk about. And until next time, get ready for WrestleMania.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.